Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I'm glad you braved the weather out there. I don't think it's started raining yet, but I think we're getting close. Right on? I think it's going to be a good time. Good thing. I'm going to invite everybody to stand, and we're going to open up with a song that's near and dear to my heart. It's all about being saved and how God is mighty to save. 1, 2, 3, and 4. And Savior, He can move the mountains. So shine your light, and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light, and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender. Jesus conquered the grave. God is good, amen. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. Live for you. We live for you. Jesus the name. Jesus the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in one. And show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in the love to those around me. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever see. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Sing holy. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around. holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation, and I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Father God, we put our trust in you. We know, Father God, that that is a, sometimes it's a hard thing to do just because we're so human. We have so many trials and things on our minds, and our weeks go by so fast, and it's so hard sometimes to even remember to put our trust where it belongs. Father God, I pray, Lord, that we just have some sort of vacation in you, that there's just a reminder that we can be still and just relax and just hold you close and look to you, Father God, for the answers that we need. Father, those of us that are struggling today, I pray, Lord, that you just give a special blessing to, an end to certain trials, to certain struggles. Help us to put our faith in you, where it always belonged to begin with. And help us to remember that you are the one with the answers. We love you and we praise you for who you are, a loving, caring, merciful, graceful, perfect God. All God's people said.
Thank you, Jonathan. If you guys take a seat for a moment. I had the privilege of leading us in our communion today and the Lord's table. If you're visiting today, I want to welcome you. My name's Mark. I'm the lead pastor here at Grace. Normally, I'd be doing the speaking later in our service, but today I have the privilege of sitting under the teaching of my brother-in-law, Matthew Hooper, who's going to be with us today. We're going to welcome him a little bit later. And I just spent this last week in one of my favorite places in the world, in the Eastern Sierras, up in the high elevations, above 11,000 feet, fishing and out of these lakes up there. And just, I'm so amazed. It's the way God speaks to me in so many ways, is in solitude and in these wild places. And you feel so small. So, appreciate the worship this morning, Jonathan. Thank you. And worship team. And as we think about our Lord Jesus, who has accepted the responsibility for us. You know, we're taught that I'm responsible for me and I'm not responsible for anyone else. That's kind of like an emotionally mature response. You know, I'm responsible to you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to sacrifice for you, but you are responsible for you. But that's not the posture of God in sending Jesus to take responsibility for us, for our sin, that which separated us from God, that which I am responsible for. Jesus says, no, I want to have a relationship with you. I'm going to come live a life just like you and endure the things that you have to endure and suffer a physical death, pouring out my blood on the cross. But because I'm an innocent man, I'm the Son of God, that death will be the paid price for all of your sin. And so when we come to the table, what we call communion or the Lord's table, we are remembering that night before Jesus' death when he was meeting with the disciples and they were celebrating the Jewish Passover, which foreshadowed this sacrifice of Jesus. And he said he would hold up the cup and say, this is the cup that's going to represent for all time from this day forward of my blood that's about to be shed for you. And he would break the bread, and this bread is going to be representative of my body, which is about to be given up, broken on the cross for you, for your sin. Why? The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he would give his one and only son, Jesus, that we might have forgiveness of sin and receive eternal life with God. And that's why we celebrate. These words that we're singing are just a reflection of the truth, the reality of who God is and our relationship that we can have with him. So the Bible tells us to prepare our hearts when we come to the table, because these elements, they're just juice and a cracker to us. We do have a gluten-free option there for those of you who know. But they symbolize something far more deep. The blood and body of Christ shed for us, an innocent Son of God for us. And so we're going to take a moment to reflect on that reality. We can gather here together today as God's people because of what Jesus has done. And we're going to reflect on the reality that our sin has been washed away. We are no longer under the guilt of our sin and the shame associated. No matter what has happened in your life, what has happened to you as a child or as a vulnerable person at the hands of another sinful person, Jesus has come so that you would have eternal life, free of shame and free of guilt. And that's what this table is. So let's, as Jonathan's going to play on the piano, we're not in any hurry this morning. Sit for a moment, reflect on the reality of these elements, what God has done on our behalf, reality that we are forgiven and we are here without shame or guilt. And then when you're ready, come on up and take the cup. There's going to be two cups stacked together. One has the juice, the other has the little piece of bread. And take that back to your seat, and that will lead us to take that together in a moment. we separate the cups this morning, one contains a little piece of bread representing the body of Christ broken for us, and the other juice represents the blood of Christ that has been poured out for us. And we celebrate, as odd as that word sounds, celebrate the death of Christ, because what it represents to us is eternal life. And Paul records in 1 Corinthians words associated with that night that Jesus himself served these elements. He would later write, verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Take now and eat the bread, the body of Christ. Paul would later write in verse 25, "In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as when you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.'" Take now, drink the blood of Christ poured out for you. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. It was necessary because our sin separates us from you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for enduring, for humiliating yourself for the sake of loving us, that we might know you. Lord, we receive these elements as a symbol of the forgiveness that is ours in Jesus. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to dismiss our kids now to Children's Church. And before our worship team comes up and leads us to another song, let's stand together and introduce yourself to someone around you. Greet someone. Give somebody a hug, a handshake.
Like in kindergarten class? Kindergarten? Everyone? Are we listening? Okay, good. Good morning. My name is Sierra. I get to do your announcements this morning. If you are new or visiting, we would love to get to know you. In your pocket, seat pockets in front of you, it's always such an awkward way to say that. In the seat in front of you, in the pocket, in the Bible, There's cards in front of you. If you're new, if you want to fill one of those out, you can take it to the lobby on our welcome counter. When you leave, it's on the right-hand side. And we have a little gift for you, a mug to remember us by. And if you put on there, you have questions about our ministries, our ministry director, that's me, I will give you a phone call or an email to connect with you next week. I want to know if you have questions. I want to answer those for you. And hopefully this morning you were greeted by multiple people who welcomed you to Grace, because we are a family and we love that you are here with us this morning. So thank you. So New Hope Home is that building right over there in our white Victorian. It's a ministry that we support, and they are in need, or they have wood that needs to be split. So if you have any extra time, could you come and split wood for them? My boys were like, "Yep, I'm going to split wood." And I was like, "Nope. You got to get a little taller and longer arms." So if you, splitting wood is how you'd like to spend a rainy day, it's so fun. And like today, I would love to be outside. It's just beautiful out. We have not had this kind of weather. New Hope Home would really love your help. And you don't have to use your axe, Pastor Mark says. They have a wood splitter available. So you can do that. It's less labor intensive. Thank you. So every year we do our fall family outreach. It's one of two huge outreaches that our children's ministry participates in. We always do it downtown Jackson in the bank parking lot. We set up tons of booths. We see over 500 kids. In fact, I think last year it was closer to 1,000. Because we make bags that we hand out to every child. We bring in tons and tons of candy. I have heard that there is a candy shortage this year, or the candy companies want us to think there is. So get your candy bright, like early. I know it's the third week of September, but if you have candy bags that you can bring in and put in the back, we would so appreciate that. If you would like to host a booth, there are booths that are already, the hard work is done. We just need you to come and man it. If you would come early and help set up, or if you would stay late and help clean up, if you have an easy up, there's lots of ups, if you could participate in this, this is a all church event. If you participate in this, could you raise your hand? Like all of us, we're all a part of this in so many ways. If you bring candy, if you participate in a booth, we need your help. So if you look back that direction, you can see the banner. That is where you're going to sign up or ask questions. Hey, I've never done this before. I don't want to be there for 7 hours. So what job can you give me? We have lots of things to do and prep for that. So would you go in the back and see Valerie or Dana and talk to them about that, please? Thank you. So save the date. We have some events coming. Next Sunday is baptisms. Normally we do that at church on a Sunday, right after service, right over here. Next week we're going to do it at Nancy Johnson's pool. So this morning I had the privilege of hosting the baptism class where we just talked about what you could expect. You didn't have to come to that class to participate in baptism, but I do want to talk to you. So if you forgot to come or you think, I think this is for me, I want to be baptized, would you call the church office? Would you call and talk to me or Pastor Mark this week? We would love to connect with you and have you at that baptism next Sunday after church at Nancy Johnson's. We also have a men's retreat here on October 7th and 8th. So put that on your calendar. We're not taking signups just yet. We just want you to block out those dates. And then we have the Prime Timers Luncheon coming up in October as well. You don't want to miss that, 55 or older. Pastor Mark gets to go to his first one. Congratulations. So if you would like to go to that as well, put that on your calendar so you don't forget, and we'll be doing signups for that in the next coming weeks. I just thank you so much for all that you do here at Grace. The way we give at Grace, we don't pass the traditional plate any longer. You can give by mailing it in. You can use our online giving app, or there's a box in the back that you can also slip your giving in as well. If you're a guest, no pressure. But all of that money goes to everything here. And our flags in the back, those are for our missions. A percentage of everything we give goes to our missionaries, not just across the world, but even in this community, not very far. We support our missionaries here. And you support every event that happens in this church and how we give. I thank you for how well you give and how generously you do. Would you pray with me? Lord, it is beautiful out, and we just praise you and thank you for the rain, for the cleaning of everything, the smells, just the reminder that after the hot, hot summer is this beautiful fall. I thank you so much for the people here who come, and the volunteers, the beautiful women's event we had this weekend, and all the hands that made that possible, the women that we heard from, the women from other churches that came and blessed us as well. We thank you for that. I thank you for our worship team this morning, made up of youth in our church, giving back to you. What a gift, God, how we give back in our time and our talents and our tithe. Would you bless the time that people give, and the talent that they have that they give, and their tithe? Would you make it just go forth, Lord, in our community and around the world so that your name would be great, because your name is great. In your name, amen.
As we continue on with our worship, you know, we do a lot of songs that are very special, but this one has a very special quality to it because it's a constant reminder of how powerful God's love truly is, and how it's as vast as the ocean. And I'm going to ask you to stand, and we'll sing this together. But as we do, see if you can sense the element of waves inside this song. Just never ceasing, never ending. Some big, some small, but always effectual. We can feel the waves of love from our Lord.
My name is Janice Bush. I'll read the scripture today. We're going to read from the book of Psalms, chapter 51, beginning with verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltless, O God, guiltiness, O God, of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Thank you. You may be seated.
There we are. Well, good morning, Grace. It is good to be with you all again. My name is Matthew Hooper, and I have the privilege of offering the message to you all this morning. Periodically, I'm able to do this, and my heart once again is pounding as I come forward. I just want to acknowledge that once again. Okay, so a little vulnerability on my part. And, you know, as I was thinking about this morning, I thought, you know, actually, I might want to just kind of take a little different turn, and hopefully this will, is it going to work? There we go. I thought I'd just go back to Acts, because I didn't feel like we quite spent enough time in Acts. I don't know, what do you guys think? I thought that was a good idea to go back to Acts. No? You guys want to move on? I'll have to put together a message today then. Actually, if you didn't know this, we were in a long series in Acts. You can access that series online at the Grace Fellowship website. It was an awesome series. It wasn't a long one. And actually, in one sense, that series continues with us today, right? Because the acts of the Spirit then are the acts of the Spirit now. And so let me just pray, and I want to ask you to join with me. I'm just going to ask the Spirit one more time to meet us here today. So, Lord, you claim this space. Your Spirit is here, and therefore your authority reigns here. Your kingdom is here, and I invite your kingdom to come this morning. Lord, in my heart, in our hearts, would you bless this message for your good purposes in our lives. Through the power of your Spirit, Lord, I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so it's not moving forward. Oh, wait, there we go. Got to turn it on. Here we go. All right, so Pastor Mark has been, after Acts, he has been doing a series on called Follow Me, and he's been speaking from Matthew 11, 28 through 30, one of my favorite passages, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." I love that short, three verses. Great, great verse that, and Pastor Mark's been speaking the last 3 weeks, a series on that. Follow me, and you will find rest for your souls. Take on my yoke. And last week, he preached a sermon called The Way of the Humble Heart. Now, I don't know about you, but I spoke in July. I called it The Way of the Heart, Part 1, and I kind of felt like he co-opted my title here. You know, just adding one word, you know, The Way of the Humble Heart. I was like, come on, Pastor Mark, you couldn't be a little more creative than that? But anyways, I'm just kidding, you know. But hey, work with me here, and I'm being very intentional with my lightness here, okay? Very intentional with that. But I was thinking, like, okay, that fits, though. That fits, though, where we're going to go today. Because in July, and you can access that message online, you'll see my name, you can click on it and find it there. There's a couple messages there. I preached this message, and it was The Way of the Heart, Part 1. And the guiding truth of that message was this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it, or the wellsprings of life flow from your heart. All of life flows from the heart. And how do we guard our hearts or watch over, keep our hearts like a guardian watching over something precious, a treasure, something of great value? We do that by taking responsibility. We acknowledge, hey, this is my responsibility to guard or watch over my heart. But we're not alone. We don't have to do it alone. God has given us His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, to help us, not outside of us. But when Jesus ascended, He said He'd send His Spirit, so that His Spirit is not out there. The Spirit's right here helping us guard our hearts, watch over, protect, keep our hearts. And of course, we have the Word, which once again, this is why we gather at Grace Fellowship on Sundays, to worship together, to connect together, but to once again be reminded that the Word of God is powerful, and it will help us guard our hearts. We need the Word to do that. So that was the series. So in a sense, to connect Pastor Mark's title with my title today, you could say this is the way of the broken heart. The broken heart. Now, those of you who have heard me preach before, you're like, oh, come on, Matthew, more on brokenness? Geez, every time you talk about humility or vulnerability, and it's like, more about brokenness, Matthew? Really? You're going to go there again? And the answer is yes. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips, an affection, an act of affection. Like, I care so much that we hear the truth, that it's like a kiss on the lips. And if you didn't notice, I gave all of you a kiss today. I actually placed each one of those kisses on the seats. If you didn't get one, you can grab one. I placed them. Jonathan was even like, Matthew, could you ask someone to help you with that? And I'm like, no, Jonathan. I want to give every person, if I can, a kiss so that you can say, this afternoon, I've never been to a service like this before, but the preacher gave a kiss to every person in the room. I couldn't believe it. Okay? So now you can say that. Isn't that cool? That will be fun to say sometime. I want to hear stories if you do. But an honest answer. So yes, I'm going to go back to this today. Is like a kiss on the lips. And part of that is because this next proverb, wounds from a friend can be trusted. So if this message accesses some parts of you that are wounded or hard to acknowledge, I just want you to know that as my heart, like if I could sit with each of you as a good friend and just say it's my heart to be helpful and to show affection in the offering of this message to each of you today, because wounds of a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So only one kiss for each of you today, okay? Only one. Actually, you can take a couple if you'd like. But I found that to be a very interesting twist on kisses today, if you will. So trust my words. My heart is for you. If today stirs some things in you that are hard to be stirred in you, my desire is your good. My affection is for you in this message, okay? So we're talking about the way of the heart, part two, or the way of the broken heart. I'm bringing this up today because this is the core message I want you to take from today. And this is why I've given you kisses, and we're going to, like, I'm going to laugh a little bit more, hopefully, today, even as we're talking about brokenness. How is that possible? Because I want you to hear this message today. I want you to hear the invitation, the call, the challenge to fly to your brokenness. to fly to your brokenness, to not just kind of ease your way to it, or, ooh, I got to move towards my brokenness. Ah, shoot. That might be true somewhat. I can relate to that. But today I want you to hear the message to fly to your brokenness. Fly to your brokenness. Go as fast as you can to your brokenness. Move towards your brokenness. Soar towards your brokenness. Like the eagle soaring down as fast as it can towards its prey. Fly with speed and accuracy to your brokenness. Or the cheetah chasing after its prey. Okay? I want you to think of brokenness as something you're chasing after. Not that you're just kind of resisting or just like, no. I want you to fly towards it. I want you to chase toward it. Chase it like the cheetah chases prey. Or if you don't connect with animals in that way like I do, maybe this, if it works, here we go. Come on. Oh. I had a great clip here. It may not come through. Let's see. There's the cheetah. I don't know if it's going to work. Oh. Yes. So if you don't connect with animals, hopefully this will work. And if you're at home, you can go on YouTube and type in Eric Little, Chariots of Fire. You'll see this clip. It's spinning, it's spinning, it's spinning. Yes!
Get them and get your mom.
Fly to your brokenness. Ooh! Come on, fly! Wi-Fi connection? Jeez! May not work. It was working great earlier, wasn't it? Okay, here we go.
Get set.
Get up, lad, get up.
Come on!
So what would it look like if you ran like Eric Little towards your brokenness? Like you get knocked down, you're like, oh no, I'm getting back up. I'm flying to my brokenness. I'm flying to it like the eagle, like the cheetah, like Eric Little. Great movie, by the way, Chariots of Fire. If you haven't seen that, it is well worth your time to watch that movie. It's a great movie. So what would it look like to fly to your brokenness, to fly to your broken heart, to shift your mindset around the things in you that are awry, disordered, not as they should be? What would it look like for you to fly to your broken heart, your brokenness? In July, I preached that message. It's kind of, in a sense, an overview message. I asked this question, what comes to mind when you hear the word heart? What comes to mind? Do you think of Valentine's Day and, I gave you a kiss today, so, hopefully, you might get a few kisses at Valentine's Day. That's when you usually give those out. So you got it like 5 months early, okay? So, Or you think of your kind of the affectionate thought of that was like with Valentine's Day, and you think of heart, like a candied heart or something like that. Or you think of your physical heart. But in that message in July, I talked about your heart, the center of who you are, where your thought, your emotion, your experience, your living, your choices coalesce at the heart. And that's why your heart, according to the scriptures, is the most important part of who you are. Your heart, where you're thinking, feeling, willing, and experiencing, living, coalesce. It's your heart that's so, so important. And I talked about these three insights, heart insights, like keeping your heart in sight to watch over your heart. I talked about three specific insights. Do any of you remember what those were? To be a full-hearted follower of Jesus, you need to know these insights or remember these insights. Number one, we are broken. That's where we are today. So we're going back to that and going deeper into this insight. The second was we're being healed. That's where I'll go the next part of this series. And then we are becoming holy. So we have some future messages to look forward to from this series. But today we're focusing on that heart insight. Number one, we are broken. And this is all in the way of the heart. And today is part two. So, with that said, again, fly to your brokenness. Fly to it. Chase after it. Run as fast as you can. If you get knocked down, get up. Keep going toward it. Because there'll be a good end if you do. And we'll get to that as we get towards the end of our message today. So as I'm saying in that message, I gave this overview to the very core of our hearts, our feelings, thinking, willing, and living. We are broken. We are not as we ought to be. And we all know this. One way to think about this is if you look at anyone in the world, you look at me, you look at others, you are made in God's image. Wow. But sometimes I imagine everyone I look at with a great crack in their face. To just imagine the reality that we're all broken. We're all sinful. We all need a Savior. I'm not greater than anyone. That is all of us. That is who we are. We're made in God's image, but we're deeply broken, twisted by sin. We are broken. And therefore, there's disorder, there's deception. And we all know, we can't deny the reality, we can try, but we all know there's death. Death is the result of our sin, our brokenness in relation to God. That's the truth. That's the truth. And we need to live with that in mind. The scriptures teach about this so clearly. I love this passage. I mentioned it in July. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things. And beyond cure, who can understand it? Our hearts are so messed up. Jesus said it like this, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. The heart insight. We are broken. This is the truth. And I ask this question, am I walking in the way of brokenness? I ask this question. Now, those of you who are here, do you remember this question? So with each of these heart insights, I'm like, are you walking in this way? Are you living according to the truth that we are broken? Are you really embracing that fully? Well, today, we're not walking. Today, we are flying to our brokenness, okay? We're flying to it. I want you to leave this message today thinking, next time I see my brokenness, boom, I'm going to soar after it like an eagle or chase it like the cheetah or run after that finish line like Eric Little did. Because there is good if I fly toward what's broken. Good will come if I fly toward what is broken within me. If I do that, if I fly to my brokenness, my broken heart, good will come. Good will come. That's the message. Not walking. Not walking in the way. I'm taking it up a notch. Okay? All right? We're turning up the volume. 1, 2, 3, 4 notches. We're flying to our brokenness today. That's what I want you to leave with today. And so in order to do that, and I'm sorry I have to do this, remember? Remember what I said when I gave you that kiss? You know, an honest answer. It's like a kiss on the lips. Wounds from a friend. Are to be trusted, okay? So I'm going to talk about 5 layers of brokenness today. 5 layers. So if in your notes you can take these down, 5 layers of brokenness, we're going to go deeper. A lot of these you've already heard about, but you're going to get my take today. As you're hearing what I'm saying, and as I'm spitting, good thing you're back right there. I don't know, that was weird. As you're hearing what I'm saying, how you make this message matter are really worthwhile is if you're thinking about how do I relate? How do I relate to this? How am I connecting with this? Where do I see this brokenness in my life? What would it look like for me to fly to that? To fly to it, even if it's really hard. What would it look like for me to do that today? So let's start kind of on a light layer. Okay, distraction. Okay, distraction. This is the first layer. The way of the heart, part 2, distraction. Now, I don't know about you, Ball, but I can relate to this idea that sometimes I use food to distract me from maybe something I'm feeling. Anyone relate to that a little bit? You know, feeling lonely, maybe I need to go eat some ice cream. I'm feeling sad. Let's go to Cabanas. That sounds nice. And not that that's bad at all. But if I'm using something like food to distract me from something that's true, it's a little off, right? That you know, there's a place for enjoyment and pursuing, you know, pleasure when we're sad or whatever. Our hearts can hold both. But if I'm using that distraction to avoid something that's true or to soften it, that's a little off, right? So that's me using that to cover something else. No, that's okay. I probably shouldn't do that. I probably should feel sad if I'm feeling sad. And I should probably ask someone, Jerry, hey, would you come hear me out? I'm feeling sad right now. And let's still go to Cabanas, but let me tell you that I'm sad. Okay, so, and Cabanas is not paying me to promote them up here. Okay, so I just want to be clear about it. But they have a really, really good plant-based burger. Okay, so I just want to say that. And I'm not a vegetarian, all right? So anyways, distraction. Okay, so let me tell you a little bit of how distraction works for me. Last week when we were in the service, we were singing and was singing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running, it's running after me. Okay, so that's happening in here. We're singing. Guess what I'm thinking about? Football. Football. And not just any football, but, you know, Jaron, he's right there, number 7. I'm thinking about the game before, like, what was that? How could we have done that? Your goodness is running. That's what's happening in real time here last week. I'm thinking about football. And I just chuckled to myself. I was like, man, I'm so easily distracted sometimes. Okay, we're singing about the goodness of God, and I'm thinking about football. I'm like, oh boy, you know. But fortunately, the grace of God is strong in my heart, and I just like, oh man, I just acknowledge it. I'm distracted, Lord. I'm not hearing the truth of what's being sung, and I'm like, okay, God, have mercy on me once again today. Okay, distraction. So where does distraction show up for you? Where do you find distraction revealing? Like, things are off in me a little bit. I'm singing about God's goodness, but I'm like thinking about football. I'm not even thinking about God. I'm thinking about football. I'm like, oh boy, right? So all of us can relate to this at some level. And I'm just saying, hey, be aware of that. When distraction is at play, it can be, not every time, but it can be evidence, a sign of brokenness, something to be aware of. And something to be working with in our relationship with God. In the way of Christ, the way of the heart as a follower of Jesus. Let's go on to the second layer, denial. Oh, we're getting a little bit more serious here, denial. Denial, I like to think of denial as when I'm denying something, guess what? It's behind me, like that podium. I'm looking this way. I'm in denial that that podium exists. I hate that podium, but I'm not going to face it. I'm turning away from that podium. I hate it. Okay, you got it? So for me to move out of denial about that podium behind me, what do I have to do? I hate that podium. Dang it, there it is. Okay, do you see what I'm saying? Denial is when we actively, but not just actively, sometimes denial works itself out where we're active at first, but then it becomes a part of just our experience. We don't even know we're denying something, but we're denying it because it's back there tucked away behind me. I'm not looking at it. All I see is up here. So all of us do this. It's an evidence of sin in our members. We can deny things that are true, things we don't want to look at, things in our past, things in our present that we don't want to face, we deny. It's really not. It doesn't exist. Okay? All right. I'm not sure. Why did I put the kiss there for this one? It's not coming to mind. Why did I do that? I can't remember. Maybe it'll come to me right now, but we'll move on. I have the kiss there for some reason. Obviously, right now, I'm in denial about what that is. Anyways, so I did put this picture up there, and this is representative of me. When I was young, I didn't even realize what I was doing this, but anger wasn't something that was welcomed very openly in our home. I think anger was expressed as more bad or emotion that's not good to communicate. Even if you felt hurt, and it would be right to feel angry if there was an injustice, I learned to repress my anger, even to the degree like, I'm like, I don't have anger in high school, or like, I'm like, it's what anger? Until I got on the football field and I started playing football and in competition, oh my gosh, what came out of me? The fire, the even like rage bubbled out. And on the football field, was that discouraged or praised? Praised my anger coming out. Yes. I didn't even realize how much anger I had repressed. Good night. Till I got to college and started to look at my heart and move towards my brokenness. I wasn't flying towards it, but I was trying to see what was true. Come out of denial, into the light. What is my anger? Where is my anger? Part of why I was doing this because I had stomach issues and my back was all tight because I had all this unprocessed emotion in my life that I needed to start talking to someone about. So I went to counseling and I got some help. I started not just walking, but flying towards my brokenness. And guess what happened? Good things came to me. And now I can be angry and not sin. Not let the sun go down on that anger, put it in the dark, right? I can keep my anger in the light. And I can be angry and not sin. And even still, my family knows this. Anger is one emotion that I still get messy with. And I fail with. But I'm not in denial about it. And I try to take short accounts. And I try to do all I can to manage and regulate and work with my anger in a way that's not hurtful to other people, myself and others. But if you're repressing anger, if you're in denial about it, it's going to come out in messy ways, right? And we all know that what keeps the score when we have repressed anger? Look it up online. I mean, you'll find hundreds of well-researched articles on the damage repressed anger does to your bodies. You could have a symptom in your body that if you worked on your repressed anger, it might relieve some of that symptom. I'm not saying that it will, but it might. It did for me. I'm not speaking from just kind of out of the blue. That's what, when I started working and expressing my anger more in healthy ways, my stomach regulated, my back regulated, I regulated. Oh my gosh. I'm not saying that's going to happen with you, but what I'm saying is that it matters what I'm talking about here. Because when you start doing things in healthy ways, flying towards things that you're denying rather than leaving them in the dark, good things will come because you're turning towards the truth. Now, some of you might resonate with this. I'm not a very sarcastic person. That's not how my anger comes out. I'm way more deceptive with my anger, way more sly, okay? Sarcastic. If any of you are sarcastic people, you don't have to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do that. But sarcasm is one way that anger can come out sideways. So if you're a sarcastic person, hey, consider this a kiss. Think about how your sarcasm could be a pathway to you acknowledging some brokenness in you. Some anger that maybe is repressed and it's coming out sideways in sarcasm. I'm like, how about flying towards that? How about not just saying, oh, yeah, that's, I've always been that way. Ooh. No, what I'm calling you to, fly towards that. Look at that. Get at it. I don't want you to lose your sense of humor, but when is your sarcasm actually disordered behavior? Because it's rooted in repressed anger. You need to pay attention to that. And this is my kiss to you today. If you're sarcastic, pay attention. This could be a place where you can fly to your brokenness, and good things will come if you do. That's denial. Let's move on to deception. Layer three, deception. Oh boy, now we're getting, okay. So I like this image. You know, who, me? And his nose is growing like Pinocchio, okay? So you know what came to mind? When I was in college, I was trying to finish this paper. And the computer lab closed, and I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to finish this paper. I'm not happy that I did this. I taped the door open so I could get into the computer lab after hours to finish this paper. Wasn't that ingenious of me to do? Absolutely break the law so I could finish my paper? I'm not joking. I did this. Someone comes in. They're like, hey, what are you doing here? They found that the little, you know, I taped basically the thing so I could get back in. I can't believe I did this. Okay, scratch this from the video record, okay? It's true, I did this. And they came in, they said, hey, do you have permission to be in here? And I was like, yeah, I had permission. I just lied because I'm like, I'm trying to finish this paper. The computer lab's closed. I don't know when I'm going to do this. I mean, it's like pressure's on. I'm like trying to graduate from college. I mean, it was my final semester of college. So campus safety then calls me in a couple days later because they found out who I was. And I was just like, you know what? I need to own it. It was me. I taped that open. I did it. I own it. I was deceptive because I was trying to get something. It was the wrong thing for me to do. Why didn't I just ask for help? Can anyone down here help me? I'm not going to finish this paper if I don't get into a computer. You know, could anyone help me? That would have been better for me to do, right? Than be deceptive and do what I did. But this is an area for me, like I can relate to deception. If you catch me in the right moment, I'm 52. If you catch me in the right moment where I feel caught and I kind of panic and I'm like, I kind of flip my lid, I might not totally say what's true. Ah, fortunately, the Spirit's in me, so I have help, and I can acknowledge it in literally seconds now and be like, oh, that wasn't true what I said. Hey, that wasn't totally true what I said. What's true is this, and I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it like that. That's me flying to my brokenness right there in that moment, trying to live according to what's true. Okay, do you hear what I'm saying? So this is deception with myself. This can also play out with others, how deception plays out with others. This can be deeply, deeply difficult and broken. Are you open and honest? Are you with yourself? Are you open and honest with others? How is deception playing out with you in relation to others? I'm just going to put that there, something to be very, very mindful of to fly to your brokenness. Are you true to others? Are you honest? There are no degrees of honesty. There are degrees of openness. You are either honest or you're not, to the best of your knowledge. There's no degrees of honesty. So are you honest with others, truly? Something to pay attention to. If you want to fly to your brokenness, pay attention to when you might not be totally honest. And I would just say, fly to your brokenness there. Good things will come if you do. If you're walking in the way of the heart as a Christ follower, of Jesus. The last is this, the demonic. I'm not going to go into this too much, but the demonic is something we don't talk about a lot, especially in our culture, which is a very deceptive strategy, isn't it, of the demonic. You go into third world context, they talk about the demonic like it's an everyday thing because that's what they're experiencing. And I think many of the really diabolical, like shootings, I think it's very reasonable from our perspective that there is demonic involvement when there is serious death or serious violation. Let's just open our eyes and not be deceived that the demonic is active in our realm, and we as Judeo-Christian believers believe in evil supernaturalism. But we don't always see it. It's deceptive in our culture, so watch out for that. And where you see, like, you're not living according, like, you're not seeing that, I'm like, open your eyes to it. Be open to that idea. And I'd be glad to talk to anyone about that. If that would be helpful at some point. But this is a way, with the demonic, is a place where there can be deception. And so we need to open our eyes and pursue what's true. Fly to what is broken. And how we, in this case, and how we think about the world as it is. It would be good to fly to truth in this way. I love what 1 John says. This comes back to the self. 1 John says this. This is one of my favorite passages. This is the message we have heard from him. Got to put my glasses on here. And declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, to not be broken, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, we fly to our brokenness. We confess them. He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our hearts. We need to fly to our brokenness. Part of that is acknowledging where we have sin in our lives, where we see it ourselves, especially with others, even just how we view the world. I think about the demonic. Are we seeing things as it actually is, or seeking to be open to that, really acknowledging what's true? But especially, I think, with ourselves, especially with ourselves. So, if you want to fly to your brokenness, pay attention where there might be deception, where you might not be acknowledging things that are true, okay? Layer number four, doubt. I love the words in James, okay? So James chapter 1, consider it pure joy when trials come your way, because through that you're going to develop perseverance. If you need wisdom when you're suffering, ask for it. Ask and do not doubt. I know there are some of you in the room right now who are walking through things where there's suffering. I know there are hard things in people's lives. And I just want to say, I can relate through my own experience, gut-wrenching tragedy in my own life, struggling with doubt. God, are you really good? God, are you really here? God, I just got my gut kicked in. How is it that you are good? There's some things happening in people's lives. I know right now it's like, God, how is it that you're good? This is terrible. Oh, it's easy to doubt God's goodness, right? It's easy to get tossed to and fro like James talks about when we're getting hit by trials and we're asking for wisdom, but we doubt. Why? He wrote this passage in James so the believers from when he wrote it till now would be reminded to keep having faith, to keep living the prayer, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Okay? So if you're suffering or you're really struggling right now and you're doubting, your doubt is an evidence of our brokenness when we doubt. And I'm just going to say, fly to that. Fly to your doubt. Don't push it off. Oh, I can't doubt. God, I got to believe. No, I'm like, fly to it. Understand it. Acknowledge it. Speak what's true. Fly to your doubt. I think when I think doubt, I think this limited lack of faith. And James 1 is so sweet in what it teaches us when there's doubt. Not to resist it, to run to it. Okay? The layer 5 is this. Dividedness, and we'll move towards wrapping up here shortly. Dividedness is just simply this idea of, I love Matthew 6:33. I'll quote that in just a moment, but of double-mindedness, of my mind being after other things, things like seeking, loving, serving things other than God and his purposes. Matthew 6:33, it's one of my favorite verses. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. That passage comes right after. He's talking about all these things that we need. Don't worry. Seek. Don't be double-minded. Money, provision, status, good relationships even. None of those things are fundamentally bad things. But if our heart is seeking after those, seeking, loving, serving those things to me in a way that's inordinate or kind of out of whack, it's a sign of dividedness, which is another evidence of brokenness that we need to pay attention to. And not just pay attention to, right? What I'm saying, with all these layers of brokenness, distraction, denial, deception, doubt, dividedness. Fly to those things. Fly to them. Fly to them. Because good will come if you do. Good will come if you fly to your brokenness. God opposes the proud, but what does he do with the humble? He gives grace to the humble. Grace to the humble. Now, as you fly, I just want to say this real quick as we're moving towards wrapping up. Genesis 3 gives us some great insight in terms of barriers to flying to your brokenness. Number one, fear. If you want to fly to your brokenness, there's a specific aspect that, I don't want to talk about it. You kind of feel afraid. Well, how are they going to respond? What might happen? Those are good thoughts. You want to bring something, let's say, if it's a confession, to a safe person who can handle you communicating that to them. But fear is very, very normal for all of us. So if you're going to fly to your brokenness, you're probably going to hit fear at some point. And I want to speak to you through the power of the Spirit. Have courage. Have courage. Don't let fear rule the day. Do not let fear rule the day. If you have any one of those five areas where you know you need to speak out, you need to move towards, you need to do something with, you're in denial about, you haven't done something with it, whether you're 8 or 80 years old, fly towards it and have courage. And if you can't do it on your own, here's what you need to do. Mark, would you come stand next to me and help me do that? Because I'm freaking out about it, and I want you to be with me. I'm having a hard time having courage. Would you help me? We don't want to let fear keep us from flying to our brokenness. The second area is shame. And this is really hard around behaviors especially that we know are disordered. You know, we feel bad inside. Oh, I'm bad. I can't believe I did that. Oh, hurts. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to own it. I don't want to fly towards it. Like little, he got knocked down. I just want to stay down. And I want to say to you today, no. If you let shame rule the day, you're letting whatever that broken is have the upper hand. Whatever that brokenness is, have the upper hand, even if it's painful. And I've felt shame in my life. All of us have felt shame. We need to face it, and we need to ask for the help we need to keep moving forward with it. Not give it the power to order the day. Fear, shame, the last is pride. Nope, not going to do that. I'm not going to talk to my son. I'm not going to do that. He did this, and that's wrong. I'm not going to talk to my mom. She's always been this way to me. I'm not going to talk to my coworker. I'm not going to talk to my friend. Now, sometimes it's best not to talk to people. But when pride, rather than humility, is ordering our movement, hey, I'm hurt, I don't like it, I'm angry, we need to pay attention to that. That will keep you from flying to your brokenness and finding the good at the end of that pursuit. Does that make sense? Fear, shame, pride. All of these we can be overcome through the power of the Spirit and the help of community. The power of the Spirit and one another. Your spouse, your comrades, your friends, your small group, the person sitting next to you right now. If you need help flying towards your brokenness, ask for help, please. Everyone will benefit if you do that. We all benefit from those movements. Everyone. When we move like that. All right. So, grace is at the end of that pursuit. Grace in our brokenness. If you fly to your brokenness, there's going to be grace. So I want to invite Martha and Jonathan up. And we're going to play a song here, and then we'll move towards wrapping up. And my heart, as you listen to this song, is just to take the time to think, okay, Lord, not where's every area, but one or two areas you know it would be good for you to fly to grace. That you would fly to your brokenness and grace would be the gift you receive at the end of that pursuit. Grace from the Lord. So just take a moment to hear this song and reflect. What is it for you? What do you need to fly to? As you listen. So hopefully you're flying in your own heart. Keep playing, Jonathan. That's great. Let's sing the second verse. Now, I don't know what it looks like for you in your heart to fly to your brokenness. But give your heart to that. Lord, I trust you to help me here. So she's going to sing the second verse, and I just want to take it up a notch in your hearts, okay? Does that make sense? Like, whatever that looks like for you to fly, wherever you're kind of holding back a little bit, as she sings this next verse, I will trust you, Lord my God. Everything you need, the Lord will give as you fly to your brokenness. So let's hear the second verse. So whether it's you soaring like an eagle, or chasing like a cheetah, or running like Eric Little, if you fly to your brokenness, grace is what you will receive. Grace is what you will receive. So with that in mind, would you stand with me, and I want to read just a portion of Psalm 51 as our benediction. Actually, I thought this was a kind of like a fun little twist on Psalm 51. I've kind of renamed it, Lord, if that's okay, Fly 51. Fly 51, the Psalm of David after his failure, his brokenness, right? His failure. His brokenness, he writes this song. He flies back to the Lord. Receive this as a benediction. I'll read just a few verses here. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me. and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Amen. So as you fly to your brokenness this week, live out Psalm 51, fly 51. God will not despise you. His grace will be given to you. So bless you as you go this day in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank you.